The Bristol Bay Fisheries Report is brought to you by the Bristol Bay Regional Seafood Development Association. Ensuring long-term growth is the world's greatest salmon fishery through investment in Bristol Bay science, infrastructure, marketing, and quality. The Bristol Bay RSDA, we're on board with you.
You're listening to KDLG, and this is the Bristol Bay Fisheries Report. It's Sunday, July 19th. I'm Molly Dishner, coming to you tonight from Naknek, where the fishing season is showing the first signs of slowing, even as the run of sockeye plugs right along. It's the last day of 2015 Fishtival, and I'm sitting just outside of Dolly's Hall, where the live music acts booked this year are playing a final set on the patio to a crowd of a couple dozen. The music is good, the sun is warm, and a light breeze is blowing the bugs away. A perfect weekend day in Bristol Bay. Just down the road from here, there are boats still in the river and more coming in from the season every hour. The temper of those we've spoken with in the last 2 days has changed. More and more are coming in to head back to other jobs, but seem happy about the strong end of the season where they've been fishing. You'll hear from some of them coming up in this broadcast. Around town, there are still plenty of cannery workers mingling about between shifts, and trucks carrying freezer vans of salmon to Naknek Port are common on the road. Overhead, there have been a number of float planes taking off and landing, presumably for changeover day, at the area's sport fish lodges, as Bristol Bay begins a shift from one fishing industry to another. It's a beautiful day here in Naknek. I'll send it back now to the studios in Dillingham for a look at the marine weather forecast and fishing games summary of the run from Saturday. Dave?
Thanks, Molly. The Bristol Bay Marine Weather Forecast tonight calling for west winds at 15 knots, seas 3. Tomorrow, southwest 10, becoming southeast tomorrow afternoon, seas 2. Monday night, southeast 15, seas 4. A blow developing by Wednesday. From Port Hyde to Cape Saratchef tonight, south winds 20, seas 4. Small craft advisory in effect Monday and Monday night. Tomorrow's forecast, southeast 30, seas 7. Tomorrow night, south 25, seas at 6 feet. Again, stronger weather in the forecast for Wednesday. Now a look at yesterday's catch and escapement, courtesy of Fishing Game's daily run summary issued today. Bay-wide, the catch was 1.2 million sockeye and escapement was 709,000. The total catch through Saturday is 31.6 million, total escapement 13.2 million, and the total run to Bristol Bay now at 45 million sockeye. Naknek Quijack landed 715,000 sockeye Saturday, season total there 14.2 million. Igigit catch 292,000, Ugashik catch 170,000, Nushagak catch 111,000 sockeye. Togiak is still closed on the weekends to build escapement in the river. Average drift delivery size by district: Igigik led Saturday with 1044, Ugashik 1010, Naknek Quijack 749. Nushagak 444. The transfer times have been waived since Friday. Looks like a few permits and vessels are leaving Naknek Quijack and heading for either Igigik or Ugashik, but not many. Now briefly a look at yesterday's escapement counts. Ugashik River 72,000 sockeye, Igigik River 70,000, Naknek River 112,000, Quijack River 295,000. That's now 5.8 million on the year for the Quijack. Nushagak River counted 44,000 reds on the last day for the Portage Creek sonar. Escapement there, total 796,000 this season. The Wood River ticked up to 72,000 Saturday with another 26,000 counted as of 6 a.m. this morning. The Agushik River had its biggest escapement day of the season Saturday, counting 40,000 reds past the tower at Amanka Lake, another 11,000 counted by 6 this morning. The Togiak River counted 2,700 reds Saturday, with this morning's 750. The season total there, just 29,000 sockeye. Again, the total catch yesterday, 1.28 million. Total escapement, 709,000. 31.6 million sockeye have been counted as harvest in the bay this season, and the total run now at 45 million. I'm Dave Benninger in Dillingham. We'll send it back to Molly Dishner at Fishtival in Naknek.
Those are the numbers. This is the last week of the Bristol Bay Fisheries Report. Any last story ideas before we call it a season, send them to me at fish@kdlg.org.
Bristol Bay Fisheries Report is brought to you in part by Crawley. fueling Alaska for more than 60 years with a full range of residential, commercial, aviation, and marine fuel products, and supporting local fisheries offshore with Bristol Bay Floater Fueling Services. More information at CrawleyFuels.com.
Almost every day this summer, I spoke with area biologists Travis Ellison and Paul Solomon of the Naknek, Quidrac, and Igigik Ugashik districts, respectively. Their districts are now open to continuous fishing through the end of the month, and their daily management of the fishing is scaling back. Yesterday, I stopped by their office in person for the first time this season to catch up and see what's on their mind as this unique season presumably heads toward an end.
Yeah. Welcome, King Salmon.
Thanks. It's nice to be over on the east side. All right, do you think we've hit the peak of the run, Travis?
Yes, I think we have. At least I hope so.
Excuse me?
How about you?
We've been saying that for about a week. We may actually be getting closer to being right this time. There are some signs out there. So we're watching them pretty close, but we're still pretty strong catches for this time of year.
Yeah, have you ever seen them this strong this late?
Not like this, no. In 06, we had a pretty long tail, but not nearly the magnitude that this one is.
Someone was telling me recently that usually, like, it sort of tails off at the same rate that it ramps up. Do you think that's going to happen this year, or is that even true?
Not with this one.
Could fall off pretty quickly, I think, faster than normal would be my guess. But you know, I think there's still going to be good fishing probably through next week. Quijack is actually just about on forecast now.
Will the management plan get changed so that it doesn't get reevaluated earlier?
We'll be looking at that pretty hard this winter and what kind of management strategy we want to use for the Quijack escapement goal, because it is a unique one and it is difficult to project total run.
How have new escapement goals been this year?
Well, if you were to take away the goals and put the old ones back in there, we'd still probably end up where we're at now. One of the things that's nice about them is that we're now allowed to go to those higher ends intentionally. This one that wasn't necessarily intentional because we had weather factors and declining fleet size and you know, other issues that helped us get to where we're at. We don't, in Igigik, for instance, the fleet has dwindled pretty quickly, and we still have pretty good numbers of fish there. In Ugashik, we've lost our set net market, and that has allowed more fish upriver. So those things are beyond our control. And while the escapements are probably still going to be within the ranges at this point, it's not because we intended them necessarily to get that high off the bat.
Okay. So. What are you most excited to do once you finally have a Saturday off?
Sleep.
See my kid. Go home and see the family again.
When does sort of that final 2015 management report come out?
Normally we get it done early in the springtime and in time for next season. This year we have a little bit of a plot complication because we have a board cycle coming up. So the regulatory meeting is in December. And we'll be focusing mostly on that for the next couple of months. And then trying to do the reporting stuff kind of as we get time. So normally it's real cyclical. We'll have that out early spring, and then we'll be gearing up for next year starting about January.
And you kind of work on it, like Paul was saying, as you have time around the other things.
When does the final catch estimate come out?
It's based on fish tickets. And when we get those processed, we've got the new electronic program that takes care of a lot of that, so it's sped up quite a bit. In a good year, we'll get them done in early November and then be able to plug all the numbers in where they belong over the course of the next month or so. Making sure everything is lined up between all the tables we produce is kind of tedious. But typically, somewhere between November and December in a normal year, but this one, since we have the board cycle coming up, it might be a little bit later than that.
Okay. Makes sense. Do you have a new guess on what the total run's going to end up at?
I never do that. I wait till what run timing was. Obviously, we have a late component this year, but I always wait till we get done before I start playing that one. And I'm not real good at it, so when it's done, okay, I'll tell you then.
That's fair. What's your one word to sum up the fishery?
Unusual.
It was a roller coaster, that's for sure.
Yeah.
Especially early on, it was a roller coaster. And now it's just a freight train.
This is the Bristol Bay Fisheries Report, coming to you tonight from NACNAC. I'll be back in a moment. This year's Fishtival has been a little quiet in NACNAC. So say folks in town, and there are still a lot more boats out fishing now than in most years. But we're hearing from more and more fishermen who are calling it quits, most of whom say the calendar is calling them elsewhere. This morning I headed around a boatyard and found quite a few fishermen hauled out, cleaning up, patching up, putting away, and draining their boats. Fisherman Kyle Skinner, on the Miss McKinley, says it's time for him to move on to other fisheries.
We got to go down to Southeast and go sanding. And my skipper has two little kids, so he's kind of homesick. And it's been an up and down season how it started and the big forecast and then them downgrading the run and then pretty much upgrading the run again. So it's just kind of been a roller coaster. It's been fun, though.
In the end, Skinner calls the season amazing.
There was a lot of fish. A lot. It was more than last year. And there was more jumpers this year and that I've ever seen. And just hitting the net, they were charging. It was pretty cool.
On the fishing vessel Sumo, John Fairbanks says another business, not another fishery, was pulling him out of the water. But it was a good season for him, too.
Oh, our favorite day was a couple days ago. It was just blowing, like, from the south pretty hard, about 35, and we started out on the Johnson Hill line on the corner of the NACNAC section and made a set. And it was dark. It was like 1:30 a.m., and, you know, you really never know what you got until you run up and down the net. And there was a few fish in there, so we decided to rotate gear, and we rotated gear all the way up for 7 miles, and the fish were just pounding in, and it was great. We were all by ourselves. By the time we ended up, we were at the river mouth, came in and unloaded. Yep, it was one of our best days.
Fairbanks had a smile on his face when I asked him about coming back next season.
Most people here, you know, have it in their blood. You know, we're fishermen. We come back every year. It's, I've missed a couple seasons. Started another business, and boy, I tell you, those were the hardest summers I had not being here. And it's just, it's in your blood. You just keep doing it. And, you know, good or bad, there's always next season. You know, fishermen are always optimistic.
There's no doubt that there's a lot of apprehension about what this year's prices will be. Fishermen know that as the amount of catches went up this month, the likelihood of a lower price did too. Wayne Welm fished on the Quicksilver 2 with a group of older guys, many of whom have spent several summers here in the bay. He says catches were good on his boat, but the price will determine what adjectives he uses to describe the season.
We ended up with 200,000 pounds, just barely over 200,000, so we were real happy with that, except the price doesn't look like it's going to be too good. We work twice as hard for half the money. So it's...
Welm says he hasn't fished the last few years, but decided to give it one more shot this summer.
They said, well, it's supposed to be big runs. I'll take a crack at it. I'm 67 years old, so this is more work than I'm capable of doing, actually. I lucked out. They let me sleep in an extra hour, and I got a few perks for my age benefit, but it was tough. It was really tough.
Welm says this was probably his last summer fishing. But most of the fishermen I saw today were already talking about work to be done over the winter before they come back to the bay next summer. Bristol Bay Fisheries Report will be back with you in a moment.
Bristol Bay Fisheries Report is made possible in part by NACNAC Family Fisheries, 246-FISH, or on the web at nacnacfish.com.
Although the season is winding down for some fishermen, fall is actually the time of year when boat building ramps up for Maverick Marine. Earlier this month, I spoke with Zachary Battle, who helped found the company. He's worked on boats since he graduated from college in 1993. In 2010, he helped start Maverick Marine in Bellingham, Washington. Since then, they've moved a couple of times and landed at the Port of Skagit in Laconer, Washington. They celebrated their fourth anniversary at their current location earlier this month, where they've built 11 Bristol Bay Drifters. How'd you get into boat building?
After school, I didn't know what I wanted to do, and a friend of mine that worked on my boat told me he'd put me to work, and I ended up just working my way up through the trades. So, you know, started out as installing mechanical and electrical hydraulic systems, and then into, you know, a little bit of everything, carpentry and welding. And in 2005, went to the Middle East and worked for a company called Topaz Energy Marine. And we started a shipbuilding division there under their flag. And they were 19 divisions, about 5,500 people, onshore and offshore oil and gas repair company. And they had a need for some shipbuilding. So I was contracted to go over and start a yard over there. I did that for just under 4 years, and then came back here to Washington and took a year off and goofed around, raced motocross and stuff, and then started Maverick Marine.
How many Bristol Bay boats do you think you've built?
11 Bristol Bay boats in the last 4 years.
Okay, and have you seen any changes in what people are looking for in those boats, or is it pretty much just kind of you've got a standard and that's what works for people?
No, we're custom boat builders, so, you know, we'll build just about anything. There's been a real kind of focus on the efficient single propeller boat, so that's the boat that we've built the most of, and I think that's because it's, you know, it's an efficient platform. It's a simple single, well, it's not simple, but it's a single engine, single prop. Most of the boats have had diesel RSW, and so that's been the predominant boat for us. Last year, or this year, I guess, put 7 new boats into service, 6 of which were our PB32, which is the conventional single prop, and then 1 of a new model, which is our top house version of similar boat, you know, kind of the big brother, if you will, and they were all prop boats this year. We did 1 twin jet boat several years ago for Johnny McMahon, the Emery James. Since then, it's all been props. So, you know, I guess there's a trend there, but, and people ask me that. They say, why, you know, why the prop boats? And I think, you know, it probably boils down a lot to cost, but it also, I don't really see a trend there other than that's the group of guys, that's the type of boat they wanted. They were replacing existing equipment, and they wanted, you know, a little bit bigger, a little bit better performance, you know, just a cleaned up version of what they had. And a lot of our clients have had really good boats. They're just, you know, there's value in their boats, and upgrading, the time was right for them. You know, this year it's different. We've got 3 of the conventional PB32s. So now we've got 2 single jet boats. One's a big 16 wide single jet, with 1,000 horsepower in it. The other one's going to be 730 horse with a single jet, just smaller jet, smaller boat. And then we've got 1 that's a twin jet boat. So we've got 3 jet boats scheduled for this year, and then 2 top houses. So let's see, what's that? That's about, I think it's 4 of the conventional props, 3 jet boats. And then we've got a new model we're coming out with this year that's going to be essentially a prototype boat for BBEDC. That's a smaller version, economical version, kind of a starter boat.
Did BBEDC come to you and ask you to work on that, or how did that come about?
So George Dauber and Pete Yazvich have a relationship with the fellows up there, and we've been in touch with BBEDC. Some of their folks have been down to our facility. They've toured the facility. They've seen, you know, they know our product and our boats. And so it's basically not for the BBEDC. It's basically a boat designed around kind of what they're shooting for in terms of a platform that their membership can get into, and gives them an option and a place to direct them to. So,
I think you mentioned that's a little bit smaller. Is it still 32 feet, just narrower?
Yep, it's going to be a 32 by 12 foot, 12'6" wide. It's going to be very, very similar to our conventional boat. And the idea behind the boat is it's going to be a, you know, an economical version. So it'll be a smaller engine. It's not going to be a high-speed boat, but it will have all the engineering and design that we put into the rest of the boats is going to be there. We're going to create foundations, and we're going to create places for future components to be mounted, so that, you know, it's not an afterthought. Basically, give them a platform that has the basic boat with everything you need to fish, and then all the other accommodations, so that as you progress, they want to upgrade certain systems or add certain things, they'll be able to do that because we've allowed for and accommodated for those items. You know, as they progress in their fishing careers or however that works, we can be around to, you know, hopefully help them get the right equipment, steer them in the right direction, and, I don't know, be a good part of the program for them. So that's kind of the idea behind it, and hopefully it works where we can create an entry-level boat.
Sounds good. Any orders for those yet?
We don't have any orders for them other than the first boat, and that is in design right now. The construction will start on that first boat sometime end of September. I think for a lot of people that's, you know, boy, you're cutting it close. You know, we did 7 Bristol Bay boats last year, and I think we didn't start them until September, so all of them. So we're a fairly good-sized shop now. So,
yeah, so how big is your shop? How many people are there building boats all year?
So we're 97 people today. We run 5 different shifts, 7 days a week. Pretty big yard.
Was the shipyard you were at in the Middle East, was it building similar boats, or how did that experience kind of help you here?
it's a funny circle. You know, when I started out, we were building bow pickers and Bristol Bay boats back in the early 90s, and the boats that I was building in the Middle East were crew boats and passenger ferries and patrol boats, and, you know, in the 100-foot range and 2 class and totally not related to fishing in any way. However, I think what really sets us apart from a lot of the guys is that wealth of experience in those areas. Although it doesn't do anything for fishing, what it does is it makes us excellent operators in terms of the welding and the fabrication and execution engineering and stuff. And so, and it's funny, and maybe it sounds kind of dorky, but, you know, I talk to my guys quite often and tell them, you know, it doesn't matter how many fishermen we meet and how many fishing boats we build, don't become fishermen. And, you know, our job here at Maverick is to be boat builders, and that's what we're experts at. And my job is to be able to understand the fishery, work with the fishermen, and then I practice what I preach. I try to stay away from building a boat that I think the fishermen need. I'm more interested in building a boat that's a piece of equipment that's an efficient use of their money, and it's a very good platform for them to use for years. As long as we're getting good information, which I like to think we're very, very lucky in that we have a great customer base, and we like the input, we encourage it, we like the participation. We charge extra when they bring coveralls, but we still like having them involved.
Well, that's awesome. And thank you so much for your time today.
Yeah, appreciate it.
That's it for tonight's Bristol Bay Fisheries Report, coming to you tonight from NACNAC. We'll be back tomorrow here on KDLG's AM 670 at 6:30 p.m. Barring any unforeseen circumstances, we'll wrap up this show next Friday. Keep in touch with us what's on your mind this week, including the prices your companies may soon post. You can reach me at fish@KDLG or call KDLG at 842-5281. In NACNAC, I'm Molly Dishner, with help from Hannah Colton and Dave Benninger, who writes the jokes that I try and deliver. Good night.
The Bristol Bay Fisheries Report is brought to you by the Bristol Bay Regional Seafood Development Association, ensuring long-term growth is the world's greatest salmon fishery through investment in Bristol Bay science, infrastructure, marketing, and quality. The Bristol Bay RSDA, we're on board with you.